Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Turn it off. I'm not in the mood for it. I asked for it, but it's no good. Every day it's amazing how your moods change depending upon the weather and what you ate for lunch. Welcome to the Savage Nation. There's a phrase in warfare that says, know your enemy. The establishment enemy is opinionated as expressed by the New York Times. So let's go to the heart of the enemy, the so-called establishment enemy. And the first question they raise is, does Romney still need to court conservatives? Listen to how clever they are. Never underestimate your enemy, by the way. They say, now that Rick Santorum is out of the race, does Mitt Romney still need to appeal to the conservative Christian voters who were energized by Santorum? Or is he now free to begin courting the broader spectrum of voters he will face in November? Now, I'm going to deconstruct this newspaper for you and show you how the intelligent left works to destroy the conservative movement and conservative candidates. They did exactly the same thing to McCain, when he first ran against this communist in the White House. So now they're saying, courting the broader spectrum of voters, can he ditch the conservatives? What they want him to do is ditch the conservative base, which is what Romney would like to do, and lose. It's exactly what McCain was advised to do by his Brutuses within his own campaign when he was running against Obama in the beginning. The worst mistake that Romney can do is to continue to move to the center. Worse yet, move to the left. He will not get the base out. They will not vote for him to lose. The only way Romney can win is the opposite to which this question is posed, which is to continue to court the conservative base, because the broader spectrum doesn't exist. There is no broader spectrum. Not at all. Now, I'm going to go to the next story on the New York Times website. I want you to see how the enemy works. Are hardline Cuban Americans strong as ever? Again, they're trying to argue that we should do business with the murderous dictatorship in Cuba, and that the real Cubans, the real patriotic Cubans, those who fled communism, really they don't count anymore. They're just old men and old women. But real Cubans love communism and love Castro. Now, it gets worse. Here's the next box in the New York Times. Why do Americans balk at euthanasia laws? Well, I can give you one answer, because Hitler used them, and we know where that ended. Shall I go to the next one, or have you heard enough? Now let's go to some of the other questions and comments here on the Savage Nation, or I'll open it up to you right now at 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I'm not going to talk about the attack on Ann Romney by that nobody. It is what it is. What do you expect from this woman, Rosen? Would you expect anything else from a left-wing fanatic than to attack Ann Romney in that way? I never attacked Ann Romney. I said Ann Romney should get out of the campaign. That's what I said. I said that she's not doing him any good. He's looking like a pocketbook carrier. That's a little different than attacking her and saying she never worked, because the adage of the women's movement is that a woman who stays at home and raises children has a full-time job. She's a homemaker. She's a wife. She's a family builder. That's a full-time job. It's harder than working in an office. I've said those things. Latest poll. Top of Drudge. Romney tops Obama. Now, these polls mean nothing. It's a Fox News poll. They bounce up and down. If Republican Mitt Romney holds a slim, I can't do this for the next 9 months, can you? And it is, take it from me. That's all I can tell you. I was at the doctor today, and whether you want to accept it or not, you listen, take it or leave it. That's the way it is. Democratic strategist Rosen apologized for attack on Ann Romney. Obama willing to risk accusations of socialism for chance to whack Romney's wealth. Right. Whack Romney's wealth. Now, let's see. Who gives Obama his money? Poor people or rich people? Well, it's rich people. It's the rich people who put Obama in power. But they're so clever, they would have you believe that it's the man in the street. If you have questions or comments about any of this, you can call me. You can call with requests, whether it be a meatball recipe or me reading from. What is your favorite piece of trickle-down tyranny now that it's number 2 and 3 on the bestseller list? Oh, by the way, I learned something from my agent. It's probably number 1. He said the New York Times list is completely invented. He said they make up their own rules as to how they rank books. They have their own formula, sort of a secret sausage formula that only they know. So they put leftist books at the top in order to make certain that people buy leftist books. But he said all along the way, you were probably number 1 even when your trickle-up poverty came out. But they rigged the system to make it look like it was number 2 and number 3. He said the same thing is happening with trickle-down tyranny, which is really probably number 1. So don't let your audience think that they've been beaten by deviants in any manner. 1-800-449-8255. Mike, in Houston, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, I've been trying to call you for years, never got through, but this first time I'm honored. But I just had a question. I play golf and things with a lot of disgruntled Democrats. I'm not a Democrat, but right. I really think Romney can pick up the disgruntled Democrat vote. And to be honest with you,
I agree with you, but he's got to do it in a way he's not doing it. He's got to do it the way I do it, which is if you talk to an intelligent Democrat, you say to them, you know that Obama is not really a Democrat. Obama is not really a member of the Democrat Party. He's a member of the far left wing of the Socialist Party. He is destroying the Democrat Party. Anybody listening to this show knows I'm right. The Democrats themselves fear this man. He's going to destroy not only America, but the Democrat Party. They have to distance themselves from him, not Romney. And so Romney's not doing a good enough job of triangulating Obama and pointing out that he's not even a Democrat. He's a far left radical.
Well, I agree with you. I've been reading your book also, and it's one of the best I've ever written. I'm in the oil and gas business here in Houston. I think you were very fair with that green energy chapter. I mean, it was just incredible.
How many more scam artists do we have to find in the green energy business until we all realize it's all a scam? I mean, we would all like a cleaner earth. We'd all like to run on hydrogen ions rather than petroleum. But we're about 50 to 70 years away from that technology. And Obama's living in the ivory tower as usual. But that would be unto itself not a crime. The crime is taking billions of dollars out of the economy and giving it to cronies who give him money for fake solar companies, for example, and other fake invented green energy companies. It's all a scam at this point in the world of technology. Having said all of that, we'd all like a cleaner world, as I said, and I have to repeat that. I'm one of the original environmentalists in America. I was collecting plants in the Fiji jungles trying to save the rainforest before Arthur Sulzberger Jr. even wore shoes. So they don't have to lecture me about the environment. Most of these leftists who are writing about the environment never go out in the environment. Are they fishermen? No. Are they boaters? No. Are they out there in the environment that they love so much? No. They're usually in nightclubs or living rooms or the bottom of a bed. I'll be right back.
Savage.
My God, what beautiful music. What beautiful music from another world. Isn't it beautiful? It's amazing, this stuff that I dug up. Who's singing this? The Falcons, whoever they were. Are any Falcons still alive? All the Ford Falcons are in the junkyard, so I hope these guys are still kicking. I know it's a different world. You want me to go on to a nostalgia trip? I'm not going to do it. I don't know. When I was young, was there this much hatred between people? Was this country as divided when I was a kid as it is today? I don't know. I think since the advent of the so-called Great Society under LBJ, since we had all of these rabble-rousers legitimized by the illegitimate Democrat Party, the country has almost become a country where a civil war could occur overnight. Yeah, that's what I think. But what's the good of talking about something that can't be ever again when we have such a situation in America today where mother against father and father against mother and brother against sister and aunt against uncle and child against parent and parent against child. I mean, there's an awful lot of blame to go around. We can point our fingers at the media. We wouldn't be wrong. The media, the very same media that I am allegedly a part of, I am not a part of, because remember, I am the man on the outs. I am the outside man, not the inside man. I'm the band man, not the bandwagon man. I'm the man they don't refer to that they all listen to. I'm the man that they wish they were but could never be. And so the media is the problem. They divide. They conquer. If it burns, it earns. If it bleeds, it leads. Look what they did with the Trayvon Martin case. Look how they took a tragedy like that and almost turned it into a race war. Take a look at that, that they let the bottom feeders come out of the sewer and incite riots in the country. Yeah, take a look at that and blame the Wolf Blitzers of the world. Blame the ABC, CBCs, NBCs, AMFFT, LSMFT. They're all the same. They hate America. They live only for earning and burning. So we all have a lot of problems in this country with each other, and it's all due to the media, in my opinion. It's all due to ratings and all due to the media. You know, I was on a show today prior to this show because of my book, Trickle Down Tyranny. Everyone wants me on their show who has a brain and a heart. Even if they're Democrats, they know that my message is important, even if they disagree with it. Don't tell that to Shalali at Fox News, because he rules with an eye on Shalali, as you well know. And the leg crossers have no power over there. And poor helpless wall banger, he doesn't know what's going on. All he does is whatever Abbott tells him. It's like, hey, Abbott, you know what I mean? But nevertheless, I wish them all well. It's a big world there. There's a room for everybody. So I was on another show on WOR. He precedes me, Governor Patterson. Governor Patterson, of course, is a lifetime Democrat, but from another era. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? He was a Democrat when there was a Democrat party before it became a socialist leftist party, which happened somewhere along the line. They don't even understand that they've lost their party and it's been taken over by the radical left, who have turned it into something other than an opposition to the Republican Party. It's now an opposition to the America Party. So I went on his show and we talked about the Trayvon Martin case. He happens to be an African-American man, but you wouldn't know it. I happen to be a Caucasian man, but you wouldn't know it. Neither of us raised our voice. Neither of us yelled at each other. Neither of us called the other names. Do you know why? Because we come from a more civil time. That's right. We come from a far more civil time than we live in today. And let me tell you something. It felt a lot better to talk to him than it does to talk to half of the goons on Fox News who live on screaming at each other. So let's move on here. What would you like to talk about? New York, John, welcome from WOR. What's on your mind?
Well, I got a story to tell you. My uncle, my mother's brother, who I was very close with, wants nothing to do with me because I'm too hard on his precious Obama.
Are you a Caucasian man?
Yes, sir.
So he's so wed to Obama that he won't talk to you because you don't love him?
When I talk to him, like, I'm on Facebook sometimes, and sometimes I just put, like, if you have an article on your page, I'll post it to my Facebook account.
Right.
He'll write, and he'll tell me, what are you going to do when he gets reelected? So I just write back sarcastically. I said, oh, maybe pay $12, $14 a gallon for gas.
Yeah, right.
So I got back.
So, how old is your uncle?
My uncle is 61.
Is he a union worker or a retired union worker?
The ironic thing, Dr. Savage, he's self-employed. He has a very successful contracting business in Florida.
So why would he want to pay more taxes? Why would he want more government red tape? What's wrong with him?
I have no idea, but my mother informed me that her family was like that for years. They're lifelong Democrats, no matter how bad they are.
So in other words, even if they told him this way to the boxcars, he'd go in the boxcar as long as they told him it's for the betterment of America.
Yes, sir.
Well, there are brainwashed peoples, John. You got to disengage from, he picks on you because you put it on Facebook and he chooses to bait you. So don't be baited. That's all. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny for being such a good sport. Okay? It's as simple as that. There are people that tied into various and sundry subjects. Let's see. What else do we have up there? Okay, this is an interesting call from Mississippi. Frederick, welcome from Mississippi. Go ahead, please.
Yes, doctor. My name is Frederick. I was making a statement that I used to work at the shipyard. I'm a mythological character called a black Republican. and that he's lost the black middle class vote out here because of the things he's doing. They all feel they've been duped or been lied to.
There's nothing to add to your statement, nor am I going to repeat what you said in order to sound smart. You said everything that needs to be said. I don't believe the black middle class would ever vote for Obama. They've come down too hard a road, and they've waited too long to be dragged into socialism. I mean, what black middle class worker wants to pay more taxes and answer to a bigger brother than we already have, Fred Frederick?
Yep, that's fact. That is a
Well, Frederick, I'm going to send you Trickle Down Tyranny. Don't you dare show it around the shipyards. You're liable to wind up the odd man out. I don't even think the book is allowed to be sold in Mississippi. I don't think it can go over the border. People have such bad images about the South. I happen to love the South. I've always gotten along with Southerners. I don't know why. I actually get along with all people except those in San Francisco because they're sort of not people. They're sort of another class of human beings. I've never seen anything quite like it, but don't get me started on that. Democratic strategist Rosen apologizes for attack on Ann Romney. Let me put it to you this way. She won't be a Democratic strategist much longer. She will not be a strategist much longer. She just cost Obama probably 3 points. It'll take 3 weeks to recover from what she did. And she'll be out of business, so I don't think it's worth talking about very much. So what is in the news that is worth discussing, if you want to talk about the news? Michael Savage says book sales portend Obama victory. Zimmerman to plead not guilty. I'm going to talk about Zimmerman a little later. You want my opinion on it? I'll tell it to you right now. I'm actually glad that it's going to go to trial. And I think it should have gone to the out of the police so that there'd be less dissension in the country from the beginning. Now, why do I say it? I'll tell you why. Because, yes, of course I believe in a stand your ground law. However, I think that there are lunatics out there who are looking to kill somebody, using the stand your ground law as an excuse to go out and shoot somebody. I don't believe he was looking for a black man to shoot. I believe he was looking to show he was John Wayne with someone and walk around with his chest puffed out. Oh, I'm a tough guy. I got a gun. I see a guy who's about to cause a trouble. I'm gonna stop him. I'm going to show everyone what a big macho guy I am. Unfortunately, he killed this kid. And therefore, it belongs in a court of law, not in the court of the media, nor in the court of public opinion. The lynch mob...
Savage.
A white sport coat and a pink.
Marty Robbins. Remember this song? Well, it's certainly most people never heard this song.
For the dead.
God, did I want a white sport coat. Instead, I had dead man's pants.
Sport coat and a pink.
Hand-me-downs. No, not at that age anymore. I was already shopping at Brooks Brothers trying to be English. Trying to look like a British gentleman. Oh, it was awful. Awful, the things that you try to do to make believe. You know, it's unbelievable. As you're growing up, the things you don't know. The Jaguar, the English Ovals. I never forget I had a 58 Jaguar. I'm going down the nostalgia trip for a minute. I need a break from the trickle-down tyranny and the nightmare I'm living in. So let my mind go if you don't mind, because I'll do it anyway, even if you do mind. Certain songs provoke certain memories in me. Let's put it to you that way. And I assume the memories are fair enough to share them with you because people call me America's most beloved storyteller. There are no other storytellers in America. There's none left. Where they all went, I don't know. There used to be a guy named Garrison Keillor. I never liked him because he was too Midwest for me. But he did his job and everyone loved him. I'm the storyteller of America. That I happen to be a brilliant political analyst is almost secondary to my ability to tell a story. So let me just tell you about it, if I may. I already don't want to tell it anymore, and I ran out because I started to give it the preamble. I didn't want to give you the amble. See, this is the problem with storytelling, is you start with too much of a preamble, you don't want to tell the story anymore. Anyway, I was listening to Marty Robbins, so the bright sport coat. I remember some... No, turn it on. I'm trying to think what the average person thinks. It's very hard living in your own ivory tower of radio to really remember what the average person still thinks about. Let me put it to you that way. Let me be very clear, okay? In some ways, I still have my foot and my eye on the ground, but in some ways, I live in my own little bubble, to be honest with you. I try to walk the streets. I try to talk to the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. I try to watch young mothers with their babies playing in the outdoor mall that I go to. I try to talk to blue-collar people as much as I can about little things in order to get a feel for it. Otherwise, you lose touch with reality. I don't have any bodyguards. I don't walk around with an entourage. And believe me, I could afford 10 if I wanted them. I really don't want people around me because they insulate you from the world and you wind up not knowing what you're talking about and then you think you're too important when you're really not, okay? At the end of the day, what are you? You're just another man with an opinion. So when I reach a point, as I do today, where everyone's Romney, Shmamni, Obama, Kadama, Rabadama, Baduba, Baduba, Zimmerman, I say, if I was 17 years old in college at that point already, the second year of college, what would I be thinking about all of this? Would I even notice any of it? I don't think I would. I truly don't think my mind would be, let's say I'm 18 years old and there's no war that I'm being drafted for. What would I care about politics? What in the world would it matter to me? I wouldn't care about it that much. A bunch of guys who are they? Politicians all lie. Who cares? So then you say, Obama, I don't really like him. He's an arrogant guy. He's a liar. Romney, give him a shot. Give him a shot. He's a rich guy. Great. Good for him. And he knows business. And that could be the zeitgeist of what's coming in the election. Obama shot his wad in that sense. He came along like the great reformer. And we all know he's just a great performer. Write it down. I wrote it. I think I'll repeat it. It's so good. It's so good I belong in the street on a soapbox. He came along as the great reformer, but he's nothing but the great performer. So he's neutralized. He neutralized himself, and that's it. They already see the arrogance, the vacations, the eat carrots and I'll eat ribs. You know what I'm saying? Romney, they know what the guy is. He's a clean, good man. He's a moderate guy, businessman. I don't care that he inherited money. What's that, a crime? I don't live in Cuba, where the government's supposed to take my father's income. I'm glad he inherited money. In fact, now that I'm thinking back to when I was 17, it's very interesting. I remember when I was 18, 19 already, I started to get political. And I used to say that was the age of Rockefeller in New York. I remember arguing with people because they were all Democrats in the school I went to, Queens College, City University of New York, all commies. They all came from little commie cells in Queens. The linoleum, the seltzer, the grandfather from Russia, and they all came here and they assumed the entire country was ruled by evil, you know, and they were the hard workers in the revolution. So I remember how I thought in those days. And when Rockefeller was around, I liked Rockefeller. My argument at 18 was the following, and this goes to Romney if you think I'm getting off the subject. I'm not getting off the subject. My argument was I'd rather have a rich guy as the president, because he already made his bundle. He made his bundle. If he's an honest rich guy, not a drug dealer, okay? Not a drug dealer, not a Solyndra swindler, not a bundler, not a stockbroker. A rich guy, let's say, who comes from a business background, we're going to say he has his bundle. He doesn't have to thieve his money, and he'll probably be better for the country. That's how I thought at 18. So I lost. Oh, how dare you think that way? You're no good. Rich or no good. But I was right. My instincts were correct. And that's why, at the end of the day, I think Romney could prevail if he sticks to that theme and doesn't let Obama turn his strengths into his weakness. Remember, Obama's brain, Axelrod, is very intelligent. He is the new Alinsky. You see, he keeps saying Alinsky, Ushmanin. Alinsky looks like a classic communist chess player from the 1930s in Stuyvesant Park. Alinsky's dead and buried. God knows what cemetery he's in. But it has a nice sound to it. You say Alinsky, and suddenly people think you're a genius. Because Alinsky. Who's Alinsky? He was a standard bearer of the communist-type leftist in those days. He was no unique character. He wrote a book. Big deal. Alinsky. But this guy, Axelrod, is 10 times smarter than Alinsky. Why? Because he's rich and he's running the country. Alinsky didn't even run a union, as far as I know. He was such a crank. You know the type that they wore undershirts in the ILD? They worked in the sewing industry, the Alinsky types. And they had undershirts, ribbed undershirts, sleeveless undershirts in the summer because there was no air conditioning. And they usually smoked horrendously toxic cigarettes. Their lips were yellow. Their fingers were yellow. They had pot bellies at 30. You know the type I'm talking about. They ate the most despicable diets. Chopped liver. I mean, the worst diet you could ever imagine. That if you wanted to kill an animal in an experiment, you'd give him the Alinsky diet. That's the type I'm talking about. So what did they really know? They hated anyone with money. They resented anybody with a white wall tire, let alone a black wall tire, let alone a car. If you owned a car, they thought you were one of the rich. If you had white wall tires, you were worse than the rich. So those types still do exist, but they really don't dominate the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party is actually the party of the multimillionaire. The Democrat Party is the party of the richest people in the country. Now, this is what Romney should be doing. Every time he's attacked by the guy who runs Obama's brain, Axelrod, through Obama the puppet's mouth, what he should do is say with a smile in a Reagan-like way, which he's doing, by the way, because he's basically a decent person, he should say, well, I think that's really funny because the richest people in Congress are all Democrats. Let's start with Nancy Pelosi. Let's start with Dianne Feinstein. And by the way, Mr. Obama, how much was Pelosi worth before she was Speaker? How much is she worth now? How much is Feinstein worth now? And how much was she worth before she became the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee? And so forth and so on. See, there's a way to turn arguments back upon themselves. But I'm not a campaign advisor nor a political advisor. I'm simply a talk show host with a fairly good analytical skill and a ability to use deductive and inductive reasoning, which makes me a totally out of touch with the average American who can't think, won't think, doesn't want to think, in fact takes a tranquilizer when they actually start to think. Francesca in Florida, I've talked too much. Your turn. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
I could listen to you forever. Yes, what I wanted to say was I really resented that woman yesterday who said something about you not liking Romney and all that. Look,
she was like a robocaller, you know. She was trying to push me through guilt into saying I salute Romney.
Yeah, ridiculous. I feel you have said, and I feel the same way, if Romney runs against Obama, I will vote for him. I know you will, and
yes.
I hope a lot of other people. But
yes.
I do sincerely hope that Donald Trump will come. Somebody would fire. Somebody who really...
That's right. Somebody's got to talk to Romney about stopping the nice guy act. You can be decent, but you got to be tougher. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
Not one like, who's this, McCain? Oh, he's a nice guy.
Oh, that was the end of McCain's campaign. I remember to this day... It was late in the campaign. It was September of October before the last debates with Obama. And there were women. Remember, there were town hall meetings at that time, which no longer exist. And one of the women, an elderly woman, got up and said, what about Obama? He's a Muslim. And McCain killed his campaign, said, oh, no, he's a nice guy. He just has a different idea than I do. That was the end of the McCain campaign.
You know, the black people will always vote for black people. However, they got to remember that his ancestors were not slaves like the our black Americans are. He's a
who?
Black
you mean Obama's ancestors were never enslaved? I said that. So, I think that's a fair statement. His father is Kenyan. That's a fact. But he's African in that sense. He's an African from Africa, so he doesn't have that whole Al Sharpton "we shall overcome" mentality. Where did he get that from? What's he talking about? Why is he pretending to be a guy who was oppressed? When was Obama ever oppressed?
That, when they vote.
When was he ever oppressed? When was Obama oppressed? He went to a private school, didn't he? He went to the Punahou High School. Who paid for that?
Right.
Francesca, I'm sending you a book. What's the name of it?
He never went through anything like the black.
Okay, Francesca, what book am I sending you?
Well, you're sending me down to theory.
No, okay, you're a good split. Trickle-down tyranny. I'm going to give it to her anyway. I think she said trickle-down theory. That's my next book, trickle-down theory. I think my next book will be tickle-down theory. It'll be a throat remedy, tickle-down theories. Oh, good. Can I laugh again? Will I ever laugh? Will Michael ever laugh again? Will there ever be a time that I'll laugh? You know what I'm going through right now with writing and doing and radio and, oh, don't ask. Don't ask, because I won't tell. Kyle, North Carolina, welcome to the program.
Michael, you are more than just a political commentator or the stuff that you studied at Berkeley with botany and nutrition. You are an excellent economist, and I can tell you, I studied economics for 3 years before I dropped out and decided to get smarter and go to engineering school. But your book outline how Obama is going to enslave us all with the tax code and his health care plan, You, sir, are an economist, and you deserve a Nobel Prize in economics.
Well, the chapter that you're referring to is Tyranny of the Treasury, Obama and the Leninist Economic Vision, because you actually read it, and I did the factual analysis that needs to be done, right? I mean, that's what you're saying, and I analyzed it. And let me read you one paragraph. Immelt and General Electric aren't alone in their ability to evade taxes. Dozens of other companies, from Pacific Gas and Electric to Wells Fargo, paid no federal taxes for the past 3 years. Wells Fargo also received a number of tax subsidies. Hewlett-Packard, Yahoo, and Levi Strauss pay taxes at less than half the 35% corporate tax rate. In all, the companies listed for tax avoidance in a report issued received more than $200 billion in taxpayer-funded subsidies. Now, I'm going to stop here because this crony capitalism is a big part of my book, but I name names. I name companies. So whenever I hear Obama saying we all need to pay our fair share, it's so cynical, it's absurd, because I say, of course we should all pay our fair share. I pay my fair share. I don't pay 15%. I pay straight out taxes. So why does he let General Electric, Hewlett-Packard, Wells Fargo, and these other companies get away with paying 15 to 17% if he wants them to pay their fair share? Why doesn't he demand that they do so? The answer is because they are his supporters, Kyle.
Absolutely. You see, the eggheads in the university system teach us all about Keynesian economics and redistribution is the way. And you clearly just laid out what economics really is in your chapters in Trickle-Down Tyranny, and also did it in Trickle-Up Poverty, but I like how you finessed it in this book. It was outstanding.
Warren Buffett, and I don't refer to him as Buffett anymore because he's more of a buffet of ideas. Warren Buffett has repeatedly claimed that he pays less in taxes than his secretary, and that millionaires like him should pay their fair share of taxes. As I've told you, I write, the reason Buffett pays a small percentage of his income in taxes is that he takes a very small salary, less than 100 grand annually by some reports as income. The rest of the proceeds from his investments stays in his company, where his tax accountants take advantage of every loophole to keep their tax bite very small. You see what I'm saying? Now, how many people know that? They don't know it. They hear the soundbite from Buffett, and then they buy the Buffett argument. Kyle, I'm sending you another copy for the holidays. I also go into the roots of the current crisis. But if you say you know it all, well, then don't buy the book. And I can give you some other information about Goldman Sachs, but you heard all of that before. I can tell you about Dodd-Frank aiding and abetting the enemy, but you heard that. I can tell you about the tyranny of fiat money, but you know all of that. I can tell you about the tools of Obama's Leninist economy, but you don't want to hear that because it's too hard on your brain. So I'll conclude with this, page 97. It's crony capitalism at its most destructive, designed to concentrate all the power in the hands of a few at the expense of the many. Worse, it's economic suicide, perpetrated by the global financial oligarchy determined to control the world's economy through any means at their disposal. We're living the results of a 50-year takeover by leftist elites determined to bring the economy under their control. It is not a political battle. It's a battle for the soul of America. Because of it, we may be living through the final economic depression. Unless we can find a way to stop the financial tyranny being imposed upon us, it's likely to become permanent. If you disagree with any of that, turn the dial. If you don't, stay there. I'll be right back.
Savage.
You're listening to the Savage Nation. I'm going to read you three paragraphs. I said I wouldn't read from the book, but I found three paragraphs worth reading on the show because most of you listening aren't going to read the book. That's the way it is. It's only a small group that actually read a book to begin with and smaller group even buy a book. You tell them about, many of you want to hear some of what I've written on the air, so you get it right now. Page 30, why do I call it trickle-down tyranny? This goes to the core of it all. And here it is. And I say this, you're not going to find the evidence of Obama's tyranny in the pages of your local newspaper or in a nightly newscast. Fox News won't touch it. Even your favorite blogger doesn't have this. You have to follow me into the dusty stacks of government archives, peer into the pages of overseas newspapers that don't worship at Obama's shrine, and go where members of the government media complex fear to tread. One of the things the network news and print journalists have refused to recognize is that we're heading for a dictatorship. No one understands that when you put the government in the hands of someone who's been brainwashed into believing the leftist tripe that passes for course content in America's colleges and universities, you're submitting yourself to a tyrant. You see, tyranny starts at the top. The people don't cause tyranny, their rulers do. The last time the country was faced with having to rid itself of a ruler like the one currently occupying the White House was in 1776. As part of freeing themselves from the rule of the British king, America's founding fathers compiled a long list of what makes a tyrant and what constitutes tyrannical abuses. As I go through that list, I find that Obama has committed many of the abuses cataloged in the Declaration of Independence. See, this is all original. It's stirring. The only thing he hasn't done is hire Hessian mercenaries to attack Americans in their homes and on their farms. In place of the foreign mercenaries, the Obama government now uses tax collectors, environmental regulators, zoning inspectors, and every conceivable bureaucrat to invade our homes, farms, factories, and businesses. In other words, Barack Obama fits our founders' definition of a tyrant. Here is what they wrote. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. They're talking about the King of England. Like King George III, Obama too has become a despot, trampling on the rights of individuals and state governments. Listen to how I prove this. Let's look at the words of 1776 and the facts of 2011. Obama has forbidden, 1776. The king has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. Okay, so the king forbade governors from passing laws of importance to states. Through his attorney general, Eric Holder, Obama has sued many states in order to stop their immigration laws, in order to stop their voter registration laws. The laws that the states are writing to protect themselves from vote fraud, he's overriding, just like King George III. Trickle-down tyranny is a fact. It's not a theory.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
All right, we have breaking news. North Korea has just launched a rocket, according to South Korean news agencies. We don't have any more details. North Korea has launched a rocket. As you well know, this is a rogue state, a state ruled by madmen, a Stalinist prison camp where millions are starved to death. Nevertheless, as I said to you before, this launch is not a launch by the North Koreans. It's a launch by China. It's a launch by China because we all know that North Korea does nothing without China's assent. North Korea is China's junkyard dog, to use a poor metaphor, but one that's quite apt in some ways. And so what message is China sending to Japan and those around the base, the Asia-Pacific basin? What message is China sending, more importantly, to the weak president, the Chamberlain we have in the White House? Remember, I prophetically said to you in Trickle-Down Tyranny right on the cover, welcome to the newly created Union of Socialist States of America, a land where our worst enemies are praised, but our allies stiffed. Not 2 weeks ago, Obama put out a fig leaf to North Korea thinking it would get him something. What it got was a rocket launch. And so therefore, ladies and gentlemen, if you care to talk about what you think this means, I don't think anyone knows what to say, but we're open for discussion. It certainly is a bigger point than what some stupid advisor to Obama said about women. It's certainly a bigger story than the memorial to the Titanic. It is a big story indeed. And if you care to talk about the launch of the rocket by North Korea, the phone number you know, the website you know, the only thing is, what can you say? It's not a good thing. It's a bad thing. Well, we all agree it's a bad thing. But the weak president, Chamberlain, in the White House, if you want to use that analogy, it's not a bad analogy, because Chamberlain was very much like Obama in many different ways. On the issue of standing up for England, Obama and Chamberlain are almost identical, which I said about a year and a half ago is likely to be one of the role models that he uses. And so what do you want to say about North Korea launching a rocket that we don't already know? Let's go to the callers on other topics that I think people have something to say on the Savage Nation, some comments that are worth listening to, okay? Craig, Los Angeles, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Savage. I'd like to point out the remarkable similarities to trickle-down poverty, trickle-down tyranny being taken off, or not allowed the number one spot on the New York Times bestseller list. It's a bit like in 1977 when the Sex Pistols released God Save the Queen. The charts were deliberately fixed to make sure it didn't hit the top spot. And I feel that when I heard you mention that at the start of the show, it reminded me just of that particular incident. And I will point out also, let's see how many remainder copies come out in the next few months of Mancow's book when they come back from the stores, shipped gold, returned platinum.
Exactly. The Mancow fanatics will order thousands and send them back just to jig the system up. And so the fact of the matter is, I was told by my agent, you greatly outsold, according to BookScan, people that they put ahead of you, and it happened with Trickle Up Poverty as well, because they don't want Michael Savage on number one on the New York Times bestseller list. It's their list. They can do what they want with it, including lie and cheat. So there's nothing new under the sun, but I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. Again, the big news is they've launched a rocket. It's not even on most websites. The only site that got the story is the Drudge Report. Usually they're first with everything, but truthfully, the site is so overloaded right now, you can't even download the story. I don't see it anywhere else. I know it's being reported on the cable channels in between their own other programming. But what can you say about North Korea launching a rocket? Is there anything you care to say about that? You know the phone number. I mean, I know what I want to say about it. It's what I already said about it, which is that it's China. And so why is China having North Korea threaten the Asia-Pacific basin? Moreover, why is China having North Korea threaten the United States of America? The answer is because they're making their moves. Just as Obama is decimating our military, China has been building up their military. Just as I said to you in page 8 of Trickle Down Tyranny, if you think I'm a genius, you're wrong. All you got to do is study the news long enough to understand what's going on. Obama's been cutting the military, attacking the military, decimating the military, while China's been building up their military. And so what do you expect China to do? They're asserting themselves through North Korea by saying, this is our sphere of influence. Nobody dare tread on our sphere of influence. If you do, we're going to attack you. In fact, we're liable to kill you. In fact, we're liable to blow Japan off the planet. In fact, we don't know what we might do because we're not them. We're the nice government of China. But we have no idea what North Korea is liable to do because they're nuts. And we can't control those nuts in North Korea. So that's what you have to know. Now, what did I write about it in Trickle Down Tyranny? Obama's already reduced defense spending and his threats to allow draconian defense cuts to kick and benefit our enemies. He's determined to cede our military superiority to China, Russia, even Iran, in order to hasten the formation of a new George Soros-defined world order, where national borders disappear and the rule of the international mob becomes a reality. Well, there's more there. I don't want to read it to you. I'd rather talk more about North Korea than I am talking about it in my book. But there are certain things that I have written that are worth mentioning to you, which I will get to as time goes on. Anybody got a comment on this? Not yet. Here it goes. New York, Cameron, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Good day, Dr. Savage. I'm going to send a donation to Zimmerman in Florida as a tuition payment for your university, because you don't collect direct tuition. So I'm going to send it to a cause of your choice, and I'm going to suggest that Zimmerman's Defense Fund should be getting my tuition payment for the Savage University.
All right. Well, but what do you think about the North Koreans launching a rocket minutes ago?
Well, I think that it's one of a number of moves that, by the way, I think you have something to do with, and that is that this is done by the powers that be so as to provide additional insurance that Obama or the Democrats will stay in the White House. In other words, the possible suspension of the election due to a state of emergency or a wartime movement because you've exposed the SCYTL firm out of Spain who has acquired SOE software and thereby commandeering the counting of our votes in November by a Spanish company owned by the European Socialist Bankers.
How come my book is the only book that points out that our vote counting machines are owned by a Spanish socialist group of investment bankers? Why is not this not being talked about across the landscape of the media, more importantly about by the Republican Party itself?
Let me tell you that there are several talk show hosts who paid homage to you for bringing that up the other night, one specifically in Pittsburgh.
Well, of course, the local hosts know what's what. They know who's saying what and what's important to listen to. But I'm in competition with the mainstream talk show hosts who are kowtowing to their bosses, so they're not allowed to say certain things. Okay, missile timing, you say, favors Obama. You think it's going to trigger a crisis and people are going to rally around Obama out of fear. Is that what you're saying?
Well, they thought they had this thing locked up, but now people are starting to fight against the Spanish company to have no say in the election.
No, I'm talking about North Korea launching a rocket minutes ago.
As you pointed out, the Chinese are funding it. The Chinese are behind it, and they're simply a pawn. But the point is to put the final nail in the coffin of this country, because now we have people who are smart and say, "I'm not going to go waste my time and vote unless I can get the control of the election count back inside my borders."
I hear you. I'm sending you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. The big news just reported minutes ago is that North Korea launches a rocket, according to South Korea's news agency. They launched its ballistic rocket carrying a weather satellite. Yeah, weather satellite. That's like Iran saying they're building a nuclear reactor for peaceful purposes. The South's Yonhap news agency also reported the launch. The launch has drawn international criticism due to concerns it could further the reclusive state's ability to deliver a nuclear warhead. Shall I say, duh? Is that not its object? To have us all cowering with a madman behind it all? This is very, very, very serious business, ladies and gentlemen. As I wrote 20 years ago, one nuke can ruin your entire day. And I'll remind you of something else. Nuclear weapons do not distinguish between progressives and conservatives. Nuclear weapons do not distinguish between African Americans and European Americans. Nuclear weapons do not distinguish between right from wrong, left from right, up from down, north from south. The fact of the matter is, this comes from the same political philosophy that killed 60 million Chinese under Mao's rule and has now led to the North Korean darkness of today. Obama had his opportunity to prevent this. Obama had his opportunity to get tough and prevent North Korea from entering into this darker phase, and he failed us again. Agree or disagree? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Ago, South Korean media reported that North Korea has launched a rocket just minutes ago.
We have just gotten word that North Korea has launched its missile against the wishes of the rest of the world.
All right, turn off the stooges. The fact of the matter is, now they're reporting that it may have failed. The official government official in the U.S. is saying that it may have failed. That has no meaning whatsoever. Let me explain my analysis. Okay. Obama wants you to believe that although North Korea went against his wishes and launched the rocket to show he's ineffective internationally, even if the rocket fails, it has no meaning to me. Why? That's like saying the villain pulled out a six-shooter and he pulled the trigger, but the gun didn't go off. So, but what were his intentions? His intentions were to shoot you with the bullet. So what do you mean it failed? So there's another round in the next in the chamber, then another and another. In other words, 2 months from now, they'll launch another one. What does it mean? See, so it's again, it's a spin job by the government, even if it flopped in the ocean. It means nothing. It means that they defied Obama because he's weak. That's my analysis. What's your analysis? Eric in Houston, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Landed in the center of Israel, they would have said, oh, well, it's their fault. They deserve it for starting trouble in the area.
Oh, goodness.
I say it's China showing their power over the U.S. and the U.N. because they have all the debt. They have all the power. Sanctions and angry emails mean nothing.
Mean nothing. That's right. They pay no attention to them. They understand that there's just words, empty words, and they're going to do what they want to do, just as Iran has been getting away with what they want to do, because the only thing they understand is force, and we're unwilling to use any kind of force against the real enemy. We use it only against our allies. In fact, this administration specializes in forcing its own citizens to do things it doesn't want to do.
Yep, and they're using all the force. That's what the biblical prophecies, eyes melting out of their face. And also, on a side note, who picked your wardrobe for the new book? They dressed you up just like Dr. Evil in the Austin Powers movies.
You know, let me look at that. Now, I was wondering why it looked familiar, the gray jacket and the white turtleneck. That's Dr. Evil's outfit? Is that Dr. Evil?
You got an Obama worker in your wardrobe.
You know, you may be right. I should look into that. We got to get rid of the turtleneck and the jacket on the next book, next cover. What should I wear on the next one? Should I wear sort of a Mao jacket? Would that be a more acceptable to you?
Probably sell better in America.
You got a good sense of humor, but I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. What do you think about North Korea testing long-range missile and the media, the government mouthpiece saying right away that this show of muscle means nothing because the rocket failed? Sacramento, Josh, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Savage, I think
yes.
That it was a ploy. Ahmadinejad's involved in it. They got to prove to the rest of the world that their missiles work, and that missile was financed by some of the Iranians to see if it could reach the lower 48.
What do you mean? I'm confused. You're saying North Korea tested its missile at the behest of Iran?
Yes. That's what I'm saying, that Ahmadinejad...
Because they're using Iranian technology?
Yes.
I thought it was the other way around. I thought it was the other way around.
Yes, that's what I mean, the other way around. North Korea has to prove that their technology, because every missile that they fire...
Oh, in other words, they're exhibiting it's like a sales call. Since they're selling their technology to Iran... and other despotic nations, they have to prove that their product works.
Yes, Savage, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's like, let me drive this car at 100 miles an hour to prove it really runs at 100 miles an hour for at least a mile, and then when he sells you the next one, you'll know it's okay, good. That's good, Josh. That just shows you the average American is smart. You get a free copy of TDT. A nuclear test may soon follow. Whether it flopped or not, a nuclear test may soon follow. Why? Here's a new report. Large amounts of dirt and ground cover are being moved at one of North Korea's nuclear sites, which experts believe indicates the North Koreans plan to test a nuclear device. There's even more, and I don't want to scare you, but here it comes. Even more alarming is that officials believe that unlike the first two nuclear tests Korea conducted with plutonium, this one could be a uranium device, which would indicate a secret uranium production facility. Let's leave it go at that, and let's not get into any more shaking in our boots here. If we still had a leader in this country who could stand up to China, this wouldn't be happening. If we had a leader who would have imposed tariffs on China under the Bush administration, this wouldn't be happening. If we had a leader who was not given towards the communist mentality, this wouldn't be happening. If we had a leader who did not appease our enemies and attack our allies, this would not be happening. This is not good for Obama, no matter what you may think. This is not going to have people rallying around Obama out of fear. It's going to have people saying he's a weak leader because he let this state get away with this after working out a deal with them as near as a week ago where they said they wouldn't do it. The problem here is that Romney has not yet said anything, and I doubt very much that he's going to know what to say because he has a golden opportunity to come in like the White Knight here. And without attacking Obama, he could say, when I'm president, this will not happen. When I'm president, we will prevent the North Koreans from launching another rocket without saying how he would do it. This is what Romney needs to do within the next 30 minutes instead of talking about surfing.
Savage.
the big news is that North Korea launched a long-range rocket. It was being tracked, and the U.S. government now saying it blew up in its trajectory. However, I want to remind you that it doesn't matter whether it blew up. What matters is that they pulled the trigger. How many times do I have to say the same thing until you understand that my analysis is rock solid? So the guy has a gun. It's a revolver. It's got six bullets in it. They pull a trigger to show you they have a gun. And let's say it's aimed in the air. It's not aimed at you, okay, to make the analogy even stronger. The gun's aimed up in the air by the villain. He pulls the trigger, and the bullet doesn't go off. You say, oh, well, he didn't pull the trigger. Well, he did pull the trigger. He was warning you. Because the next time he pulls it, it won't blow up in mid-path. So what does this mean with regard to our leadership? It means that we have a weak leader. It means that we have a Chamberlain in office. It's like Chamberlain coming back from a meeting with Chancellor Hitler, saying, I have a piece of paper in my hand, the Anglo-German alliance, and Chancellor Hitler has just assured me there will be no war in our time. The next day, Hitler invaded Czechoslovakia. That's a pretty good analogy for you. This is what you get when you have a weak leader who spends more time conniving to attack his own people than to attack our worst enemies. They spend 90% of their energy thinking how to screw the American people, how to intimidate the American people, how to ensnare the American people, and they pay almost no attention to North Korea and Iran. He has no foreign policy. He has no foreign policy expertise. This is a disaster for us, and the biggest loser here is not Obama. The biggest loser here is Hillary Clinton, who's been acting like she's God Almighty and she's in control of the whole world. She's not in control of anything. She's in control of her own hype and her own PR. Houston, Ari, you're on the Savage Nation.
It is a great honor to speak to you, Dr. Savage.
Thank you.
I've been looking at this thing since about 2 p.m. this afternoon. I went to the Drudge Report, and I was curious why no one had anything about the payload on this rocket, which they showed pictures of. And
now, I understand you worked at NASA or work at NASA?
No, sir. I'm a NASA contractor. I worked at NASA for over 30 years. Yes.
All right. So you know something about rockets that I don't know. You're now referring to the actual payload on the rocket. What is it that you saw?
Well, the pictures are not very telling, but if it seems to me that they have deployable wings, meaning deployable mm-hmm. solar arrays, the trajectory on the rocket is almost due south, which tells me that is definitely a spy satellite that is being launched to be on a sun synchronous orbit. And so, you know, the North Koreans, I doubt very highly they have any kind of technology. This has to be a Chinese satellite. But nobody's
yeah,
talking
yeah, but
about
isn't this rocket based on a Longdong rocket from China?
It is. It is, number
right.
one.
And what's even more horrible about this story than even you and I are saying is I remember very well how China got their capacity to launch rockets. It was from the single largest donor to the Democrat National Committee. I remember the man's name. He was a shyster who started with parking meters in the Bronx, worked his way up to owning Loral Space and Technology, and then the shyster shared technology that was developed by the United States in launching rockets in China, saying it was only for satellites, it would never be shared with China.
It has given the Chinese the ability to target any city within a city block.
From America. The technology was given to them by the chairman of the Democrat National Committee under Bill Clinton. He has a name. He still exists. He lives in America. He's a bigwig in the Democrat Party. He should be tried for treason. He gave them this technology. But what's
right.
the point, Ari? You and I both know no one listens to my show.
I know, but why aren't they talking about the payload on this rocket? I don't. Nobody has said a word about it. You know.
You mean that to you, a rocket expert who worked at NASA? The payload is a spy satellite. That's what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Because why would you, you know, the ITU gives every nation their spot on geosynchronous orbit. And that rocket has the capability to deliver a payload in the transit orbit to geosynchronous. Why would they not put in geosynchronous when they're saying it's a satellite to look, you know, at the flora and the trees and all this stuff, which is what they're saying. Obviously, it's a lie. So they're launching due south. That puts your orbit in at least 80 degree inclination, which gives you the ability to look at the United States or really any country in the world.
So in other words, they want to overfly Australia to begin with. They want to overfly Taiwan, Japan, certainly South Korea. But this gives them the capacity to do much more than overflying and viewing, correct?
That's correct. That is exactly right. So I'm thinking, you know, why? I mean, it's like the Chinese got, they have, a free, they're giving them technology, but at the same time say, hey, you don't want to throw up, you know, a ton of sand into space. Let's put one of our spy satellites on it. And if it doesn't fail, if it doesn't get shot down, we get a freebie out of it, basically.
It's terrible. It's terrible. The nuclear arms race is back. It's under Obama's watch. Would you agree with me as an analytical man? You're obviously trained as an engineer. Using plain old logic, wouldn't you say that China did this because Obama's a weak leader?
Well, that would be, I think, the first reason why they got to convince themselves that, we got a free one to go here. This is the time to do it. Absolutely.
In other words, they
Absolutely.
Have no fear of any repercussion.
No fear from Obama. And if it, and
right,
like
of course,
said,
no fear. They'll cut off food aid. There goes the corn. Is that it?
Yeah, it is laughable.
God, there goes the popcorn from Wisconsin.
That's right. And may I say, you make my life so happy so much. I laugh so much when I enjoy your stories about your childhood and cooking and all that stuff. It's great.
Ari, did you emigrate to America from another country?
I came from Mexico, sir. And
amazing.
I'm a proud American. And
I am
very upset. I'm angry that this nation that I came here legally, okay, because I had a dream to go into space. And I from day one I was here legally, and here's something is going to be that you're going to know about. You remember the Simpson-Mazzoli law when President Reagan, they had this amnesty law, okay?
Yes.
And I came here in 1975, and when I went and put my paperwork in, I was denied because I had been here legally.
Oh, so you got punished. You got punished for coming illegally.
Yes, sir. So it took me another 7 years to become an American citizen.
Oh, so you would have been better off sneaking back into Mexico and sneaking into America. Then the ACLU would have helped you become a citizen overnight. And, of course, if you did it today, the whole Obama administration would be behind you. It's a sad state of affairs, Ari, but I really appreciate your listenership. I'm sending you trickle-down tyranny. And it's a terrible day for America to see such bungling by this administration that they could not even diplomatically convince China to constrain North Korea, to put it in very, very basic terms. I didn't even say the word Obama. It's a very sad day to see such weakness and such bungling from this administration that they could not even negotiate with China to stop North Korea from this provocation. How's that for legitimate midstream media talk? As opposed to man-to-man talk, which you'll get in a few minutes. Virginia Beach, Errol, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Doctor. How are you doing tonight?
Tell me your opinion on the rocket launch.
Well, sir, I'm a 13-year veteran of the United States Navy. I was downsized by President Obama. And whether that has anything to do personally, nothing to say about that. But
What do you mean? You were cashiered out of the Navy because they cut back on your ships or something?
They had cut 150,000 sailors. I was one of them.
Well, you don't need sailors. What you need are floating birthing clinics moored to the dock, where you can use the Navy, where you use the Navy as a social experiment rather than an arm of the military.
Well, the same thing happened when I joined the Navy 13 years ago under Clinton's administration. People were getting out left and right. They were offering 15-year retirements, and the Navy had the Navy seems to keep going through these periodics with weak leaders and everything, and then we see what happens, you know.
Listen, as I point out in my book, Trickle Down Tyranny, we have the smallest Navy since World War One. The smallest Navy since World War One, and as we're downsizing, China is upsizing. I'll give you a copy of the book, Trickle Down Tyranny, Stay in the Line. I can tell you much more about that period that preceded World War II, but you'll get frightened to see that we're living through a repeat of history. And as Santayana, the Spanish philosopher, wrote, those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. Yes, it was not the rock and roller, but the Spanish philosopher Santayana who wrote that a long time ago. Those who do not know their own history are condemned to repeat it. But in the 1930s, we had a very, very similar situation to what we have under Obama right now. We had a socialist president named FDR. We had an anti-war fervor coming from the Democrat Party, where they were, you're not going to believe it, but it's a fact, look it up. They were actually sinking our own ships because they said that we had the war to end all wars in World War One, and there would never be another war. And so instead of heeding the advice of great minds such as Winston Churchill, who were warning them that China was building up its, warning them that Germany was building up its military, Germany was building up its air force and its navy, and that Britain better do so. They laughed at him. They called him a reactionary. The same words you hear about Michael Savage were thrown at everyone who had a brain and saw what was going on in the 1930s. And so, as I say, we have the smallest Navy since World War One because we have a pacifist socialist in the White House who thinks that he has created a new world and everyone loves him, and that he has such genius and such brains around him that all the nations of the earth will lie down and do business with him because he's such a wonderful man. And so when he travels to these foreign countries and they salute him, he takes them seriously, not knowing that they're simply appealing to his vainglory. Read the Bible. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So North Korea launches a rocket, and immediately it's reported that it blows up in its flight path. So you say, oh, well, it comes to nothing. Let me get back to dancing on the rear deck of the Titanic. What do I care? After all, another slut in Hollywood has been reported to have gone into rehab. Well, wait, there's another slut who fell down in the gutter and we saw under her skirt. Why, wait a minute. Fox News is just reporting that another slut is on a beach in Miami showing off her bikini body. So therefore, let's go back to dancing on the rear deck of the Titanic. That's what the media moguls want us to do. Let's see if we can go back to some race hatred whipped up by the reverends. Well, that's not the correct reaction. China has just provoked America. More importantly, there's been no reaction from America. We could have shot the rocket down. We have the technology to have shot that rocket out of the air before it blew up. Let's assume they're telling the truth, which I'm not so sure of. But let's for a minute say that the government's, for the first time in a long time, they're telling the truth. North Korea launches a rocket. Even though Obama said as near as last week they're not going to do it, we worked a deal out for corn. We're sending a popcorn from Kansas, so they're going to add it to their kimchi and they're going to be fine. Turns out that Hillary Clinton didn't know what she was talking about. She was living in a dreamland surrounded by sycophants. Yes, yes, Miss Secretary. Yes, Miss Secretary. Of course, Miss Secretary. I guess you know. And Madeleine Albright. Oh, my God, another bar mitzvah in North Korea. I missed 3,000 people dancing for me. It's not a joke. This is serious business. They mean business. They're going to put a nuclear warhead on it. And then they're going to threaten us. They're going to aim it at Los Angeles, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle. And they're going to say, you want us to change our currency? Good luck. You want to put tariffs on our junk? Good luck. You understand that this is just another... It's another aspect of the financial war that they've been involved with us for a long time. They're just raising the stakes in the financial war that we are engaged in with China. But you wouldn't care about that. So let the band play on. Let the band play on. Tucson, Arizona. Barbara, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, my family loves you. I bought 5 of your books. You remind me of Joel Rosenberg. He's a Christian author who is like you. He's got a lot of wisdom, a lot of wit. And both of you in your books just kind of point out the obvious. Well, it maybe not be so obvious to the rest of us. But I just love your book. My college daughter mentioned your name to her professor at the University of Arizona. He was like floored. He goes, I didn't think kids your age listen to Michael Savage. She goes, oh, yeah, we have his books and everything. And I just
they're allowed to have my books at a university in America? They haven't been visited by Bill Ayers or any of the National Action Network folks?
No, this was just a private conversation between her.
Don't let it seep out. Barbara, I really appreciate it because if every conservative family in America bought the books and spread them around like the gospel, we could change the course of the election. We could change the course of history. My brand new book, Trickle Down Tyranny, is what we're talking about. So what does it have to say about something as significant as what just happened an hour ago? I'm not going to read it to you. You're going to read it to you. Read the chapter, The Tyranny of the Egghead Wars, and you will see that you could have predicted what would happen today in The Tyranny of the Egghead Wars. Tyranny of the Egghead Wars. This is what happens when you see all the president's women standing in a sewing circle talking about how to constrain China and Russia and Iran. You understand what I'm saying? All the president's women. You can put Humpty together again. I don't think so. They come up with things such as the responsibility to protect doctrine, which has only helped Islamic radicals in the Middle East. They took Mubarak, who was our best ally for 40 years, and threw him in jail. And now we have the Muslim Brotherhood inside the White House. Shall I go on? The whole world is upside down under Sor Obama. The whole world is a tangled mess under Soros and Obama. And this is just the beginning. Because in Tyranny of the Egghead Wars, I write all about what Obama is doing to the U.S. military. You say, well, I don't want to know about it. I want to dance on the back of the ship. I can't help you if you don't want to know about it. The fact of the matter is, nearly 60% of respondents in the Marine Corps and Army Combat Arms said they believed there would be a negative impact on their unit's effectiveness over the next several years. There's no end to what this man has done. You haven't even begin to see the damage he has done. Did you know that Obama appointed Patrick Murphy to West Point's Board of Visitors? Murphy is a former Democratic congressman and an Iraq war veteran, but he's a favorite guest on MSNBC. And what is his big issue? What is his big issue? As a congressman from Pennsylvania, Murphy championed the House program for recruiting more gay soldiers into the U.S. Army. Now, that would have stopped North Korea, because then we would have had a more diverse military. And as you well know, China respects diversity. It's the most diverse nation on Earth. Actually, it's the least diverse nation on Earth, but don't tell that to the president's women. Gray in Nevada, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike, you know, I work at a facility here where we could easily shoot it down, but Obama doesn't want to use the kind of things we have. We've got anti-gravity machines that could just...
All right, thank you for the call. Sounds like a nut job from a lockdown. Anti-gravity. We could have used Captain Marvel if we wanted to stop the rocket. You have a special access to Captain Marvel inside the locked ward in where you are operating. And had you only known, you would have released Superman and Captain Marvel to grab the rocket in mid-flight and thrown it right back at the evil empire of North Korea.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, you need to hear some of this audio. This is the shock stuff, including Democrat spokesmouth Hillary Rosen attacking Ann Romney, saying she hasn't worked a day in her life. Unbelievable.
With respect to economic issues, I think actually that Mitt Romney's right, that ultimately women care more about the economic well-being and the like. But he doesn't connect on that issue either. What you have is Mitt Romney running around the country saying, well, you know, my wife tells me that what women really care about are economic issues. And when I listen to my wife, that's what I'm hearing. Guess what? His wife has actually never worked a day in her life. She's never really dealt with the kinds of economic issues that a majority of the women in this country are facing in terms of how do we feed our kids, how do we send them to school, and how do we worry, and why do we worry about their future?
Now here is the street agitator and race baiter, Al Sharpton, again trying to stir up hatred in the Trayvon Martin shooting.
Trying to stop the rush to judgment that Mr. Zimmerman apparently made on the night of February 26th. Let us remember, and a lot of the media in many ways distort this. So to lecture us about rushing to judgment, we're a victim of a rush to judgment in this case. Let's be real clear on that. We are not in the business of revenge. We're in the business of justice. So yes, there are many that get emotional. There are many that get involved. But they should not take it upon themselves to disparage the name of Trayvon in the name of their anger. We are not running a hate campaign. This is a love campaign. We love our children. We love Trayvon.
Here is the new Black Panther Party Chief of Staff, Michelle Williams, apologizing for her attacks on white people about the Trayvon Martin shooting. Amazing stuff.
In my words that I had to say out of anger will make the American people address this issue. Let it be my time, Melanie. Let it be my time to address this issue with America, that we say enough is enough. We can't have any more killings. My words were out of anger. I did not incite, I did not promote, nor did I encourage anyone to go and pick up a gun. Do I want to see George Zimmerman dead? No. Do I want him brought to justice? Hell yeah. This whole Trayvon Martin case has been an injustice that America is watching unfold.
Now here's the news on michaelsavage.com. Michael Savage says book sales portend an Obama victory. Uh-oh. Radio host cites Mad Cow book, says liberals are more motivated than conservatives. They made her number one and me number three. What does that tell you? It tells you that you have a chance to make my book number one and drive Mad Cow off the list. Top left, trickle-down tyranny. Oh, you don't want to hear it anymore? You like a land where poverty is rewarded, where success is punished, where Israel is punished and our enemies are praised, where the military is being used as a pawn, where our borders descend into chaos, where your dollar is worth less than it was when Obama took power? You know all of this? No, you don't. You only know half of it. You want to know all of it? Read Trickle-Down Tyranny. Also on my website, GSA officials spend 1 week in Hawaii, 1 hour ribbon cutting ceremony. Trayvon's mom says she thinks his killing was an accident. She's a decent woman, I'll tell you that. Mayor Liberalberg launches campaign against gun laws. He was joined by black leaders. Dem lawmakers celebrate Zimmerman murder charges. Black Panther's chairman says he's building a black army to kill. Details plans for an all-black force. Wow. Chicago homicides soar in first quarter of 2012. Attorney General praises the street agitator Al Sharpton as his friend and ally. Bottom left, michaelsavage.com. New photos of my birthday party, beautiful women. Sagging pants gets a man 3 days in jail. school board members in Springfield, Missouri, charged with texting porn to minors. Claudia Schiffer looks a lot like a young Brigitte Bardot. That's not political, is it? Trickle-down tyranny is the blueprint for defeating Obama. All this and more right here on The Savage Nation.
Trying to stop the rush to judgment that Mr. Zimmerman apparently made on the night of February 26th. Let us remember, and a lot of the media in many ways distort this. So to lecture us about rushing to judgment, we're a victim of a rush to judgment in this case. Let's be real clear on that. We are not in the business of revenge. We're in the business of justice. So yes, there are many that get emotional. There are many that get involved. But they should not take it upon themselves to disparage the name of Trayvon in the name of their anger. We are not running a hate campaign. This is a love campaign. We love our children. We love Trayvon.
You know how much that irritates me? Well, just think how your throat would feel this spring without Pine Brothers' softish throat drops. Remember Pine Brothers? Those soft, delicious throat drops we all grew up with. The ones your parents bought to soothe you when you had a sore throat that you couldn't stop eating after your throat got better. Well, they're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors, and they're just as wonderful and effective as you can remember. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothers.com.
Savage.
Words that I had to say out of anger will make the American people address this issue. Let it be my time, Melanie. Let it be my time to address this issue with America, that we say enough is enough. We can't have any more killings. My words were out of anger. I did not incite, I did not promote, nor did I encourage anyone to go and pick up a gun.
Do I want to see George Zimmerman dead? No. Do I want him brought to justice? Hell yeah. This whole Trayvon Martin case has been an injustice that America is watching unfold.
Devil or angel, I can't make up my mind which one you are.
Most people who are normal are not paying attention to the news. See, we're all enslaved by our own addictions. We're enslaved by our own jealousies and such. Addictions of many kinds, anger, jealousy, greed, you name it. And Passover says that we can leave our own Egypt behind. We're supposed to remember that we have the power to unenslave ourselves. We have the power to break our own chains. So let's leave the big O word out of it. It's too easy to do. No, but that's the meaning of it. I mean, that's what it comes down to. We're all enslaved, and we can get unenslaved by breaking our own chains. But no, you think anyone means that? They run out and take a joint. Here's my headline from the Times of Israel. Weak Israel goes to pot. That's my headline. The headline says it like it is. Because a medicinal marijuana provider offers kosher cannabis cookies. Moses is turning over in his grave. God himself is saying, oy vey, that the nation of Israel would become a nation of addicts like this and take on San Francisco values and expect to survive when they are surrounded by vehemently anti-Jewish, anti-Israel enemies. Let me ask you something. Who wins the battle? Someone who's stoned or someone who's straight? Who wins the battle? Someone who's drunk or someone who's drinking coffee? Who wins the battle? Someone who believes in God or someone fakes believing in God? It's real simple. My headline is Weak Israel Goes to Pot. You don't like the headline? Take it up with someone else. Don't bother me. That's kosher because some idiot told you it's kosher. Marijuana is the most dangerous drug on the planet. No matter what the doctor idiots tell you, it is the most dangerous drug on the planet because people think it's the most benign. It's horrible what it does to people. Okay, so instead of 4 cups of wine, you're going to have, what, 4 joints? Is that it, the people in Berkeley? And then run someone over on your bicycle tomorrow in San Francisco? You know how many people are getting knocked off in San Francisco on bicycles now? The lunatics on bicycles, they're out of control. Then they arrest the dead person for having walked in a crosswalk instead of arresting the bicyclist. What would you like to talk about in the Savage Nation? I mean, personally, I'm not burned out. I'm not tired. I'm on allergy medication, which is really whack-a-doodle. I'd rather have allergies than the way I feel. I always try medication once in a while. It's horrible. What's this one called? Something D with Sudafed in it? You have to give out your children's birth certificates now to get a Sudafed tablet in a drugstore. You have to bring a certificate from your mother, even if you're 60. Horrible. I mean, Sudafed's like a speed freak thing. I mean, I'm salivating from it. I'm starting to feel like Olbermann as I talk, just from one. In a few more minutes, I'm going to look like a Rachel Madcow if this keeps up. So I was looking at the Old Testament. Now I have Mark 13, which is the Christian Bible. Listen to this. This is chapter 14. After 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. So, and being in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there was some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may. Anyway, you can read it for yourself. Some people take Bibles literally, some take them figuratively, and some don't take them at all. And those people would be in politics, the latter category. They walk around with show Bibles, large crosses on them. Now I'm going to read you one passage, and I'll stop. I have in my hand the third religious book, The Teaching of Buddha, which, of course, is not in the tradition of monotheism to begin with. But it's a beautiful book of philosophy in my mind, to me anyway. So I found one piece for you today that may be appropriate about homeless brothers, believe it or not. Duties of the Brotherhood. A man who wishes to become my disciple must be willing to give up all direct relations with his family, the social life of the world, and all dependence upon wealth. A man who has given up all such relations for the sake of the Dharma and has no abiding place for either his body or mind has become my disciple and is to be called a homeless brother. Now, you see, when you read a thing like that, you understand the appeal of Buddhism to the pseudo-Buddhists in America. The pseudo-Buddhists in America continue to drive their Priuses and their Volvos, if they still drive Volvos. They have Obama 2012 bumper stickers. They go to the wine country on the weekend to drink very good Chardonnay and Cabernet Sauvignon. But they identify with those who have given up the worldly things, and they therefore think that they're homeless. And then they get angry at people who have better cars than them, who they try to cut off from the right lane, because they assume you're the rich pig and they're not. So it's all a matter of degree, and it's all a matter of psychology. You understand how America works? It's a great place if you understand how it works. Now, if you want to talk about the news, this is the place to do it. Let's go to the callers at 1-800-449-8255. Let's begin in Sacramento now, up in KSTE country. Jim, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, greetings from Sacramento.
What is your main point, Jim?
I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, regarding allergies, what?
Cell phone. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. Regarding allergies, what?
I'm sorry. Anyway, so 1905, regarding allergies, I was a rich kid, son of a bank president here in Sacramento. I struggled with allergies for my life. I had croup. I had asthma. My grandparents had to take me up to Lake Tahoe to survive sometimes. I was a pincushion for the pharmaceutical industry. So I struggled with Sudafed, Actifed, you know, everything. I was fed it all.
Right.
And what was the
final cure?
Final cure for me, at least, I've been on a plant diet for a year. I'm an extremely moral individual, but I do smoke dope, Mike. I don't know if you approve of it or not. I'm sure you don't.
Yeah, but it's not. You got to understand, it's not whether I approve. It's not a moral issue to me. Marijuana isn't a moral issue. It's not a moral issue. Marijuana has so many toxins in the smoke that an educated man like yourself should understand that.
Okay, that's what the science says. Maybe I have the power to overrule those negative things, Mike.
Look, I wish you well. But if you just Google toxicants found in marijuana, you'll find a shopping list that exceeds that of cigarettes. And I don't care if people smoke pot. It's not a moral thing to me. It's a medical issue. It's a chemical issue. It's a toxicological issue. That's what matters. But moreover, I think the nation is being weakened by the massive propaganda, which was originally funded, by the way, by George Soros, because he started this legalized marijuana BS, the medical marijuana, in Arizona and California 10 years ago. I had a big argument with one of his flacks over this issue. He is the one who wants to dope the nation the same way the British doped the Chinese in order to make them into slaves. It's that simple. It's a nation of slaves. And there's a reason pot is called dope. I don't know anyone's gotten smarter smoking it, do you? Can you name someone who's gotten smarter smoking pot? Tell me that their dexterity has increased. Tell me that they can do math faster. Tell me they can fly a plane better. Tell me they can drive a race car better. And you'll find out what I'm saying to you. Tampa, Florida. Jeff, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, I just wanted to say thanks. Nobody out there says it enough, says it like you. Everybody says, hey, it's no big deal. Don't worry about it.
Well, look at Hollywood. Every Hollywood movie shows a slut smoking a joint. Everyone, oh, it's nothing. Let's have a joint. Like if they're eating candy cane.
Exactly.
Well, they're reflecting their lifestyle, which is why they're in and out of rehab.
Yeah, well, I just want to say...
They're in and out of rehab. What does that tell us? That tells us more than the movie.
Yeah.
Well, look, to me, it's not a do-or-die thing, but the nation should understand they're going through a gigantic propaganda wave right now on marijuana. It's the most destructive of all drugs because it's considered to be the most benign. If you name it, you gain it. Name the book.
Trickle-down tyranny.
Oh, you almost missed it. Good. You win. I guarantee a pot smoker wouldn't have gotten it right. They would have stumbled on it. If I had said, you name it, you gain it, to the guy who told me that it saved him, he would have said, trickle your chimney or something like that. Trickle your chimney.
Savage.
Barack Obama is not really a Democrat. He's a radical leftist, and he's the most radical leftist president in American history. He's not even a mirror image of Jimmy Carter. He's far to the left of Jimmy Carter. Now, joining us right now to discuss this in the upcoming race for the White House is Dr. Charles Dunn, former Reagan appointee and dean of the Robertson School of Government. Dr. Dunn, thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
Michael, really glad to be with you and look forward to our interview.
It's pretty obvious to my audience that Obama and Carter are similar in so many ways, but where do you see the similarities and differences? Well, who's more of a leftist, in your opinion, Carter or Obama?
Well, they're similar for these reasons. First, if we look at the auspicious beginning, Carter had an auspicious beginning. People thought that he was going to be able to do great things, that he would bring the country together after the division caused by Richard Nixon and Watergate. And, of course, if we look at how Carter became very defensive and unyielding in the pursuit of his agenda, same way about Obama right now. And then, too, if we look at how Carter alienated his base and couldn't win, as a result of that, he won the South overwhelmingly in 76 and, of course, lost it in 80 to Ronald Reagan. And look at the base of Obama. Obama has problems with his base, with Roman Catholic voters on abortion and health care, Jews with his equivocal position on Israel, and Latinos with his failure to pay off on promise of immigration reform. And then gasoline. We remember Carter and gasoline prices and gasoline lines, and the specter of that, of course, hovers over Obama today. So there are several reasons why Obama and Carter are mirror images.
Well, who's more of a leftist, in your opinion, Carter or Obama?
Obama is worse than Carter. Why? Well, Obama has promised so much that he's failed to deliver on. And if we look at his failure, for example, on the big issue today, namely the debt crisis and taxes, he had an opportunity to do something of a bipartisan nature. He named a prestigious Blue Ribbon Commission that came out with a report that most objective observers says was reasonably good. But Obama promptly put that on a shelf and set it aside and did not take the leadership. He was unlike Bill Clinton. Remember that Bill Clinton, he took his lumps after he lost on health care, but he, you know, he jettisoned that issue that he was supporting. And then he began to work with Republicans in a bipartisan way to bring about welfare reform. He even turned against his Democratic base to get welfare reform passed. So we're looking at Obama and we comparing him to Carter. I have to say that Obama is definitely worse than Carter, particularly on the economic issues.
I don't think Republicans stand much of a chance against Obama. What do you think?
Oh, I think they do. Now, we have to certainly say that Obama has some advantages. One advantage, of course, is he's the incumbent president, and incumbent presidents, after one term in office, have always won, save twice, 1888 and 1980 with Carter. Now, discount George H.W. Bush, because that was three terms into a Republican presidency, and there were various factors that explain the loss for Bush. So he has the advantage, definitely, of incumbency. Advantage of incumbency in that he has money to dole out around the country, which he's beginning to do. And he has the advantage of reasonably good personal popularity. But here are reasons why that a Republican candidate, and it looks like it's going to be Mitt Romney, could win. One is, you know, the old adage, you can't beat something with nothing. And right now, Obama is offering an agenda of nothing. He has not accomplished much of anything of consequence as president. Secondly, he has been a fill-in-the-blank president. Let's take health care. He never delivered to the Congress his proposal. Rather, he said, I want health care reform, and he let Pelosi and Reid fill in the blank. Now, no president in modern history has done that. Go back to Franklin Roosevelt, to the president. They've always led with by saying, here is what I would like. They gave specifics. And then also because, let's take this matter of home base. Right now, Republicans have an opportunity to pick off a significant portion of the Democratic base of Roman Catholic voters on that issue of abortion and health care that's alienated the Roman Catholic leadership. The Jewish base, because Obama has been equivocal in support of Israel, and the Latino base, where Obama promised immigration reform and has failed to deliver. And then we take what I call the unforced errors. You know, when Obama gets away from the teleprompter, he speaks in ways that we wonder, why are you saying that? For example, what he said about the Supreme Court regarding declaration of acts of Congress unconstitutional, and he backtracked for at least 2 days on that. That live microphone pickup of his comment to the Russian leader about, well, hey, you know, after I win re-election, I'll have flexibility. And we're left with misgivings and uncertainties about his leadership. But let's give another one here, and that is, since Franklin Roosevelt, no president has won re-election with an unemployment rate above 7.2%. Today's rate nationwide is 8.2%, but let's narrow it down. Florida, and these are key battleground states, 9.4, Indiana, 8.4, Michigan, 8.3, Missouri, 7.4, North Carolina, 9.9, Ohio, 7.6, Nevada, 12.3, Arizona, 8.7, all battleground states, unemployment well above the 7.2%. And then if we look at the issue of gasoline prices, there are about a half a dozen reasons why Obama is vulnerable.
Well, okay, what do Republicans have to do to beat Obama in November?
First, they're going to have to unify. Mitt Romney needs to get his act together. He, of course, has to reach out to Rick Santorum and pull in that evangelical, social conservative base that he so much needs. Secondly, he has to get a base, a bridge built to the South. We note he has run very poorly in the South, indeed got whipped in several of the southern states. Republicans cannot win without carrying the South. Ronald Reagan definitely demonstrated that. And so we have two things that Romney must do, and that the two principal things insofar as bases of support. Reach out to that evangelical base. Santorum is key there as a bridge builder, but he's not the only one in building that bridge. And then reach out to the South to get, for example, a vice presidential running mate who perhaps would combine both the ability to reach out to evangelicals and to the South. And why the South? Obama won 3 of 13 southern states in 2008 by narrow margins, Florida, North Carolina, and Virginia. Remember, North Carolina, Obama won by 14,177 votes, a squeaker. Now, in those three key battleground states, if Romney and the Republicans can pick those three off, they would be well on their way to victory because they would have unified the party and reached out from that southern and evangelical base across the country to put together the winning coalition.
Since Obama is like Carter, which president do you think Romney might be like?
Romney is changing a little bit. I have been around him a couple of times, and I have to tell you, both my wife and I, yes, we enjoyed meeting him, enjoyed meeting his wife, but I didn't feel any magnetic force between us. We did with his wife. She's a very charming lady, and she's going to be quite a good figure on the campaign trail for him. But if we, he's changing. He is beginning to become more personable. I'll say he's beginning to become less like Richard Nixon, who was, at least on the surface, and I happen to have known Richard Nixon, on the surface, an impersonal fellow, although if you happen to meet him individually, as I had the opportunity to do, a very personable fellow. Romney is bright. He'll be very good in debate. So he's going to combine some things here. He'll combine that the personal approach, if he continues to change in the right direction. He'll never be as good as Ronald Reagan, but he'll have some of that Reagan-esque quality, and then he'll have the brilliance, the understanding of the issues, and the ability to articulate them. So I will say he'll be something of a cross, a hybrid, between on the Democratic side, John F. Kennedy, and the Republican side of Ronald Reagan, and that's what it'll take to win.
What can we the people do?
Key thing is organization and money and issues. Money is the mother's milk of politics. Romney is going to need it in record sums because Obama already is raising it in record sums. So money has to come in. Then the addressing of the issues. Issues have consequences. Americans are increasingly seeing the consequences of the ideas that Obama has put forth, and they don't like those ideas, especially on health care. So ideas have consequences. Republicans have to make this an idea-based campaign that appeals to the American electorate, and they have to package those ideas in the same way, for example, Kennedy packaged a New Frontier, Lyndon Johnson packaged Great Society, and George W. Bush packaged the compassionate conservatism, or go back, of course, to the New Deal, Fair Deal. The packaging of really good ideas. So if the money comes in, the organization is built, and the party has ideas, and then with a candidate who can lead the way, who will take it to the opposition. Romney must be a fighter. It's no holds barred. And right now it looks like he's going to run such a campaign. It will take that to win. It'll take a Harry Truman kind of campaign.
Dr. Dunn, thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Mike, I really enjoyed talking with you. And my latest book, American Culture in Peril, which just came out, something I think you would have an interest in.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Here on the Savage Nation, we're hard at work. Chemicals found in marijuana smoke. I'm posting it up on michaelsavage.com for the parents out there who want to warn their poor children that they're being brainwashed into thinking it's natural and good for them. See, there's a myth that things that if they're natural, it's good. There are many natural things that can kill you. Do I have to explain that to you? Yes. People don't even understand that it's not a matter of whether it's natural. It's a matter of whether it's toxic. And marijuana smoke is highly, highly toxic, as this article will prove to you. And in fact, one last line and then I'll let it go. Ammonia. Who would say ammonia is good for you? No one. Ammonia is found in mainstream marijuana smoke at levels up to 20-fold greater than that found in tobacco. Now, as you well know, the fools who have been brainwashed with the global warming and big tobacco, I don't smoke cigarettes because I know it'll kill me, would have killed me, killed my father. Here's marijuana has ammonia levels 20-fold greater than that in tobacco. Hydrogen cyanide. Okay, nitrous oxide in marijuana smoke at concentrations 3 to 5 times of those found in tobacco. So all of the jerks, oh, I'm natural. I eat a vegan diet and low gluten. And, oh, yeah, I don't drink alcohol. But I smoke weed because it's really good for me. It's natural. Brainwashed, just fools. Just fools. They don't know what they're talking about. Mercury, cadmium, lead, chromium, nickel. I don't want to read these names to you just for effect. Formaldehyde, acetaldehyde, acetone, hydroquinone, resorcinol, catechol, phenol, naphthalene, fluorine, benzoapyrenes. You know, many of you won't eat smoked foods and you won't eat foods with nitrites in them, right? Well, rightly so, because you know that they've been found to be related to cancer. It's very, very well established. Well, how about benzoapyrenes? Highly carcinogenic. So if you want to increase your risk of cancer and other diseases, continue to smoke marijuana and advise yourself that it's natural. So what can I say to you? I can give you the facts, but apparently facts don't matter whether it's about marijuana smoke or about Obama or about elections. Facts do not matter. To the American people are like children. They don't want to know certain things. So let's take the callers. You don't want to listen to a right-wing guy about this stuff because you know more. You know more about everything. You don't know more about you know more about everything. Second Amendment, First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, Sixth Amendment, Seventh Amendment, Eighth Amendment. I don't know anything about those things. Nope. Like King George III, the despot, Obama too is trampling on the rights of individuals and state governments. But you don't want to hear that either. He attacks the Supreme Court the other day in the most frightening way, and you didn't want to hear that either because it was brushed aside by the Associated Press. The Fort Hood massacre, still no justice for those relatives of those killed because the U.S. Army is hiding the pro-jihad rants of Major Nidal Hassan and multiple reports by his superiors about the pro-Islamist internet postings he made before he shouted Allahu Akbar at Fort Hood and killed 13 and wounded 30 at Fort Hood, Texas, November 2009. And Obama does not want this to come to trial. Why? Because it will remind you of certain things that are uncomfortable. It reminds me of what happens in totalitarian states everywhere as citizen is turned against citizen, family members against family member, while the state accumulates increasing power over its citizens' lives. That's what it reminds me of in many, many different ways, and it's on page 259 of my book. And I keep referring to it because the day will come when I will not refer to it, and then it's going to be up to you to refer to it. We've got a long time now between now and November, and you need some information. You can't just scream at people You've got to sit down in small groups and try to argue with them. Well, you need an architectural plan. You need your brief as a lawyer to go into an argument. You can't just walk in there and shoot from the hip. Lee in New York on WOR is calling about the dangers of marijuana. Go ahead, please.
Hi. First, Michael, I wanted to say I really enjoyed Trickle Up Poverty, and I'm looking forward to Trickle Down Tyranny as soon as I can get it.
Anyway, oh, boy. Well, let's get it over with. You named the books. You're getting a copy, so what's on your mind?
Oh, good evening. Thank you. I just wanted to say that pot is the gateway drug. Every other addiction comes from that. I've lived through it in my immediate family, and there's no such thing as a healthy smoker, smoking anything.
Well, that's very interesting when you say it's a gateway. You mean they start with marijuana and what? Then they try other drugs?
That's right, because after a while, it just doesn't do the trick anymore, and they need to branch out into other things. I've lived through this with a brother.
Listen to this. I remember when I was young at 17, an older guy talked me into smoking pot, and then I heard the pot smokers who were older than me said, pot's for tots, horses, boss. And many of them went on to shooting heroin and wound up dead or worse than that. So I understand what marijuana does. Of course it's a baby drug. It's the entry-level drug.
Yes, it is, and it ruins families. You know, when someone becomes addicted.
What happened with your brother?
Since he was a teenager, he's now in his 40s. He got hooked on pot, and from then he got into every drug you can name. And after that.
Well, you know the potheads don't believe you, though. They'll say, "Oh well, he also started on mother's milk. Are you going to blame mother's milk?" I've heard every argument under the sun.
Savage.